Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
It is a football Thursday, and we got a strong show for you. We are bringing it strong. Former NFL quarterback Rich Gannon, who will be on the call of Sunday's game against the Colts with Marv Albert for CBS, is going to join us and break down both the Colts and the Browns, and has studied film. The man's a film-studying maniac. That's what Rich Gannon does. He lives in the film room. When he was a player, John Gruden was telling me this when John coached him in Oakland. And Gruden was always the guy, remember, get up at 3:17 in the morning and get to the facility early and be in there to get a jump on things. Well, the only other human being in sight would be Rich Gannon. In fact, Gannon would have to, like, throw stones at the window because he'd be locked out. He didn't have a key to the place until John finally got him a key to the Raiders facility to let him in to look at film. So he has studied these teams playing Sunday, and he's got a lot of thoughts on that. Another film-watching maniac, as I call him, is Ron Jaworski from Monday Night Football, another former NFL quarterback, a great friend. We go back many, many years. He's joining the show. He'll break down not only Colt McCoy, but multiple quarterbacks around the league, including Cam Newton. We'll get his take on some of the very good quarterbacking stories that emerge from week one in the NFL. This is Rebound Thursday. Rebound, one of the big topics today in Berea, and Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, asked about his young team and its ability to rebound from last week's loss to Cincinnati.
I'm trying to move on, and I think we all have, and I think that's what practice and preparation on the next opponent brings. That's the beauty of the NFL, in my opinion, is, and that's where that's where you got to be pretty strong mentally. You got to be, you got to be able to forget what happened Sunday, good or bad, and I think and move on. And so, I mean, that's part of the process, is moving on. And it's unfortunate that you can't win them all, but we're doing everything we can to win the next one. Guys that are considered leaders, you know, they do their job well enough where they can help guide the rest. And I think that's what you'd expect.
And besides rebounding, the other word of the day is mea culpa. We heard that from Browns defensive coordinator Dick Geron, doing the classy thing that Dick Geron does. I've known him a long time, also as a coach and a person. He's an even better person than he is a coach. But leave it to Dick Geron to do exactly what he did today. And in his news conference, told reporters that that play, the memorable or forgettable, whatever you want to call it, that nightmarish play, the quick snap play that the Bengals got for a touchdown, A.J. Green, was on him. And to quote him, he said, "I had to pick it up. I had to see it, and I didn't see it. After making a call, I was back on my game plan sheet thinking of a call ahead or thinking about the next call, and I missed it." So he took the heat on that one. And, you know, you could say to yourself, it doesn't make you feel any better, or it could make you feel angrier. Those of you who have been angry about this, and direct anger specifically at the defensive coordinator. But what it does for me is taking that responsibility sends a message to the team, to the players, to the defenders. This shouldn't be about who's going to throw who under the bus. When things go wrong, there's usually a multitude of reasons. And you know what? This didn't all fall on Dick Geron's shoulders. Dick Geron, yep, he takes the blame because ultimately it's his defense, and he's the one in charge. But I hope the players on the field, who also have their abilities to adjust when things aren't going right or a call isn't going there, or if a coach isn't doing the right thing, it's up to the players to do the right thing in those circumstances and vice versa. That's how this works in this league. You're paid the kind of money you're paid to pick up the slack for everybody. So just something to keep in mind. I just was impressed with how Dick Geron handled that. We take your questions on this show, Ask Vic. You post those questions to our official Facebook page or official Twitter page. Edwin via Facebook asks, he says, it is said that the greatest improvement happens between game one and game two. What areas do the Browns need to improve, and what areas do you see the Browns making the greatest improvement? Well, I think the areas are just basic consistency, basically tightening up so many things that were pretty loose in that game, especially from a penalty standpoint. Want to see the run game come around in a much bigger way. This is an opportunity there for that with a smallish Colts defense. I want to see more production from the offense as a whole, with Colt, including Colt McCoy, but I think that's going to start with the running game. And defensively, got to see the pressure. Got to see an older quarterback in Kerry Collins, who is a little bit slower getting back, a little bit slower to get off the ball, getting a lot of pressure in his face. And that's going to be on the Colts defense to do that. Okay, coming up in a couple, a conversation with Rich Gannon, former NFL quarterback. He works for CBS now as an analyst. He will be handling the call of Sunday's game against the Colts, working with Marv Albert on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hi, this is Vic Carucci talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. I'm driving a 2012 Ford Explorer Limited. It's roomy, and it has voice-activated sync, navigation, the works. I love the Liberty Ford experience. Their guaranteed financing and award-winning service department and body shop just add to it. Go to any one of their five locations to check out their huge selection of new and used inventory, or make it easy on yourself and go to libertyford.com.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Ask the Expert from the Center for Orthopedics is available online at ESPNCleveland.com. Your expert advice on sports injury questions from the physicians at the Center for Orthopedics. Each week, they answer a different question that you can submit by visiting ESPNCleveland.com. This week, Dr. Dan Zanotti tackles turf toe. So listen for Ask the Expert from the Center for Orthopedics each week on ESPN 850 WKNR, and check out every Ask the Expert segment at ESPNCleveland.com.
At Advance Auto Parts, we know there's nothing more annoying than a dead battery. It's time to go, and your car won't. That's why Advance offers free battery testing. Need a new battery? Advance will professionally install it for you, fast and most of all, free with purchase. Don't get stuck with a car that won't turn over. Turn in to Advance for our free battery testing services. It's a great start to making sure your battery keeps starting. Free battery testing and free installation. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part. Free battery services available on most vehicles at most locations.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland traffic.
77 southbound and Fleet clearing away a broken down. You are backing up to downtown. Interbelt southbound is slow between Dead Man's Curve and 77. 271 southbound slowing down from Cedar Brainerd to Rockside. 71 southbound heavier traffic as you are making your way from the stretch at 480 down to Bagley. But right now, no accidents and no broken downs. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
We welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's In the Game, and we do a daily poll question, as you know, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's a new question each day that we give you. And today's, and by the way, we give you that on our Browns official Facebook page. Today's question, how confident are you in the Browns' ability to rebound? There's that word again, rebound this week. And why? The categories are very, somewhat, not at all. Very pleased to be joined now by Rich Gannon. He'll be handling the analysis of Sunday's game for CBS Sports, joined by play-by-play man Marv Albert in the booth. Rich, welcome to the show.
Vic, thanks for having me, partner. How are you?
I'm doing great, and always great to talk some ball with you, my friend. And I know you've had a chance to study some tape and break down these two teams, the Browns and the Colts. Let's start with what you saw from the Browns in their season opener against Cincinnati.
Well, it's a disappointing loss. I thought they had plenty of opportunities in that game to get it done. So you think about the touchdown pass there at the end from Bruce Gretkowski to A.J. Green. I really felt bad in a way for Joe Hayden. I mean, if they're not lined up, there's some communication issues. They're late getting out of the huddle. And, you know, you just hate to put that on film. That was a very unfortunate play. And also, I thought the run from Cedric Benson at the end there that kind of sealed the victory. I mean, you look at it on film, and there's some areas that they can clean up. You know, you think about the three or four plays that they'd love to have back. But I think that I was a little disappointed, quite frankly, with the offensive production. I thought that, you know, that Peyton Hillis would have more of an impact and a role in that football game. Colt McCoy looked a little bit out of rhythm. I thought he played very well in the preseason at times, and I was expecting a better performance from him. I'm real excited about Evan Moore. I've been talking about him now for over a year. I just think he's a very good football player, a guy that can move around in that offense to create some problems for linebackers and safeties. He's got great size. He runs routes more like a receiver than he does a tight end. Very effective in the red zone, Vic, as you know. And I think the important thing for this offense is for these young receivers to really come on. Robiski and Massaqua and Greg Little, these young players need to step up and have more of an impact with this offense.
You know, Rich, when Andy Dalton got hurt at right before halftime and wasn't coming back in the game, my first thought, you know, looking at it from a Browns perspective, is this might not be end up being a very good thing for the Browns, even though Bruce Gretkowski's background was one that people didn't, you know, see any reason to be nervous about the guy in terms of what he could maybe bring to the table. He's a veteran backing up a rookie. He's a guy who didn't do well in his stint earlier with the Browns. But the first thing that occurred to me was that experience level, that he'd be the guy who could possibly do exactly what he did, recognize a situation where the defense was caught napping and then do exactly what he did. Taking me back to when you were playing quarterback and you had that extra sense, I know, where you saw everything and prided yourself on studying everything. How many situations like that did you run into, and walk us through what the thought process is?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen all that often at this level, but, you know, you get a situation where the defense is not prepared, whether there was an issue with the play coming in from, Dick Duran on the sidelines, that there was a substitution issue where they're trying to get people on the field, whatever it is. You know, you do normally have a plan in place, and typically what the receiver does is just turn and look for the ball, the quarterback will just kick it out. Well, that's not what they did. I mean, A.J. Green just takes off, starts running down the sidelines, and Joe Hayden tried to take an angle to get there, but it was just too late. And that's not something, you know, that you typically see, and certainly it's not something you want to put on film if you're the Browns, but it is what it is. And I agree with you, Vic. I think when Andy Dalton went out of the game and Bruce Gretkowski came in, that was probably bad news for the Browns, because Bruce Gretkowski knows the system much better. He spent time with Jay Gruden and John Gruden down in Tampa Bay together. That's how he was trained and brought up in the system. So he's a guy that probably has a better familiarity with the schemes and the verbiage and terminology than the rookie Andy Dalton.
And you mentioned about Colt McCoy, Rich, that you wanted to see, again, more spark production from this offense. Now, he did lead this team on 17 consecutive points and looked like he was finding that groove that we saw from him in the preseason, especially when he played against Green Bay, looked reasonably sharp against Detroit as well. What is it when you study Colt that you're seeing?
So a lot to like about this young quarterback. I go back to last year and his first four starts and how difficult it was on the road in Pittsburgh and then the following week on the road in New Orleans. And he comes back, and I think he's got the Patriots and the Jets or something, Jets and Patriots. I mean, he played some really good football. I think we found out very early on that it wasn't too big for him. This guy has a knack for making plays and giving his team a chance to win late in games, and I think that's who Colt McCoy is. I really think this is the perfect marriage made in heaven, he and Pat Shurmur. I mean, Pat's great with young quarterbacks. You saw what he did with Sam Bradford last year. Problem is Colt goes from one system with Brian Daboll last year and Eric Mangini to a different system this year, and that can be traumatic for a young player, and it may take some time. But I think it's the perfect system for him, the West Coast system where there's so much emphasis put on footwork and timing and decision-making and rhythm and accuracy. I think these are all the things that Colt does well, his ability to move and improvise, get outside the pocket, make some plays with his legs. I think it's going to be a great system for him. I just think, like anything else, they're one of the teams that really got hurt by the lockout. The fact that they didn't have a chance, a new coaching staff that would add the extra mini camp, no quarterback school, no OTAs, new systems being installed, a lot of young players playing. It may take a while for the Browns.
Former NFL quarterbacking great Rich Gannon, he will handle the analysis for CBS Sports coverage of the Browns-Colts game Sunday. Rich, you know, the situation, the new offense, as you mentioned, the first-year head coach in Pat Shurmur, young quarterback starting his first full season, playing the first game of his first full season as a starter. A lot of these dynamics coming into play here and other young players around. How do you think a team comes back? This is going to be one of the storylines I know you're going to address in the broadcast, comes back from, you know, what could really be a very hurtful opening loss like that.
You get back to the drawing board. I think you go back in, you look at the film, you're honest with yourself, you make the corrections. I think everybody can be better. I'm sure you talked to Pat Shurmur. There's some plays he'd like to have back. I think the important thing is you look at the opportunity that's in front of you and not what just happened. I think you have to have a short memory in this business. And I think, you know, there's a great opportunity to go up to Indianapolis this week and beat the Colts. I mean, they were shell-shocked in week one, and they're struggling right now. This is a team that was built around Peyton Manning. There's no more Peyton Manning for this season anyway, or at least it doesn't look that way. This is a defense that struggles against the run. They're not very big up front. They're built to play with the lead and rush the passer. And I think this is a big week for this Browns offensive line and for Peyton Hillis. They need to dictate the pace and the tempo in this game by running the football effectively against a defense, let's be honest, that doesn't really want to stop the run.
And when you talk about the Browns offensive line, Rich, you got to talk about the health issues that have been there. Tony Pashos hurt at right tackle. They lose Eric Steinbach, of course, for the year at left guard. So there's some young people there. Jason Pinkston, a rookie, replacing Steinbach. And then they've done this rotation thing at right tackle with O'Neal Cousins, who used to be with the Ravens, Artis Hicks as well. You're drawing upon what you're observing on video and your personal experiences with lines that are in flux. Address that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, there's just no continuity up front. You think about that line last year and how well Alex Max played, Joe Thomas and Steinbeck on the left side. Well, you've got Pinkston in there now, so now you got communication issues, and this is a group that hasn't played a lot of snaps together. You think about the right side, no Tony Pashos, and now you got O'Neal Cousins and I think Artis Hicks working in there, and so you got some changes there, even at the right guard position. So you've got a lot of change, and as we know, too much change up front can be a problem. I think it's important that you're just trying to get as many reps as you can and get this group comfortable, but that's the nature of the beast. I mean, you look at the Indianapolis Colts, who are going through the very same thing with their offensive line. They've got three new starters, they got a rookie playing left tackle in Costanzo. They got Joe Wrights playing left guard. He's a first-time starter there. You've got Linkenbach. It made his first start at right tackle, just his fifth overall start for the Colts. So a lot of change along their offensive line, and they struggled as well. So that is a concern, I think, to the play caller as it relates to protection schemes. And it can be a little bit of a concern for a quarterback, a young quarterback. You've got to trust that offensive line. You've got to be able to trust the protection and step up in there with some confidence.
You mentioned, of course, that the Colts were shell-shocked in that game at Houston, to say the least. And I think it started with the fact that Here's Kerry Collins playing on only, I think, what, 17 days of work as a Colt, and a guy who was coming back from retirement. Yep, he's a veteran, he's experienced, but all of that really didn't matter, I guess, when you're kind of thrust into a situation where you're still kind of finding your way, or it looked that way to me, and you didn't have that protection. Those tackles struggled. They struggled picking up the blitz, and now he's putting the ball on the ground. Bad things are happening. How do you go from that to a rebound performance a week later?
The good news is the guy has done it for a long time, 17 years. The bad news is that he's got a history of putting the ball on the ground. He has fumbled 138 times in his career, more than any other player in the National Football League, and he's lost 57 of them. Now, the only one who's lost more fumbles is Brett Favre at 60, but they both have played a lot of football. The good news is for the Colts is that, you know, Kerry Collins will bounce back. He'll be a week better in the system. And you just hope that, he takes better care of the football. Ball security has been a problem for him. It's got to get better. If you're the Browns, you've got to go after Kerry Collins and get it out. I think if you're the Colts, they've got to change their approach offensively. They're not built to do this, Vic, but I think they have to. They've got to be able to run the football. Haven't done it very much since Peyton Manning's been there. 29th in rushing a season ago. Joseph Addai, Donald Brown, DeLone Carter need to get touches in this game. They need to be able to run the ball to have success.
Yeah, absolutely. To take some pressure off of this, off of this quarterback and a guy who's put in a very, very difficult spot. But when you look at the surrounding cast, when you look at Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, are there still enough playmakers to help maybe elevate, if they step up their game, to help offset some of the issues that come with, again, being thrown into this situation as late as Kerry Collins has been?
Vic, there's a talented a group on the perimeter, maybe, as there is in football. Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Austin Collie, Anthony Gonzalez, Dallas Clark, you got them all. But you got to have somebody that throws it to them. And they don't have that guy right now. I mean, Kerry Collins, to me, looked slow getting away from center. They literally drug him off his couch down in Tennessee, talked him into playing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't ready to play last week. And I have a lot of respect for Kerry Collins. He's had an unbelievable career. He's thrown for a lot of yards. He's played in a lot of games, six different teams, tough guy. But that's a lot to expect from a player just in a few couple weeks. And I just I think they'll struggle once again. I really like Cleveland in this game. I think that they'll crank things up in the running game. I think they'll get after Kerry Collins. I think the Browns got a real good chance on the road against the Colts.
You know, as I look at it, I mean, I tend to agree that you're sizing it up the right way. But the one other thing that I look at from the Colts standpoint are Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, just seeing the trouble they can give. And even though, okay, Freeney's going up against Joe Thomas, a great tackle, but I think of Mathis on that other side. They could do their share of damage.
Yeah, they really can. I mean, they're the best in the business, I think, at home, on the turf, when they're playing with the lead. And that's got to be the key. You look at Houston last week. They did a great job with the boots and the nakeds and stuff, getting that shot out on the edges of that defense. That really helped. And then they ran the ball. And I think that Freeney and Mathis, not the biggest of defensive ends. One of them's about 235. The other one's about 257. They can get pushed around a little bit in the running game. And that's what you want to do. I think you want to run on the edges of this defense. I think you want to certainly have a plan in place when you have to throw the football. Crowd noise can be a factor. The two tackles are going to have to play well. I feel good about Joe Thomas in the matchup there. A little more concerned about the right tackle, but you know they've got a tight end. They've got backs that can shift. You've got to have a protection plan on how you're going to account for two of the better pass rushers in the game.
Sounds like it's going to have to be a big day for Peyton Hillis and Montario Hardesty.
No, you're right. They've got to. I was disappointed I didn't see more of them last week. And I think you're talking about your best offensive player probably from a year ago in Peyton Hillis. And it's not just him in the running game. I think he's a very good screen runner. He catches the ball well. I think he's got to have more touches. And I think Hardesty's got to be able to spell Hillis when he gets tired. But I think that for Cleveland to win right now, I think they've got to have the balance. It doesn't make a lot of sense for Colt McCoy with these young receivers to throw the ball 35 times a game. They've got to have the balance. I think it starts with a strong running game.
Great stuff. We really appreciate your time, Rich, so much, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Vic, you're the best. Thanks, pal.
Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Like Northeast Ohio's best-selling trucks, Ford F-Series and Ranger. Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now, available with 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 in rebates. That's zero for 60, plus $1,000 on Ford Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans. Your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
The end is near. Not for you, for the 50th season of racing at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. You've got one last chance before this historic season comes to an end. It's the EMCO Gears Classic, presented by Key Bank, September 16th through the 18th. It's a full weekend of racing action, featuring the Rolex Sports Car Series, Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, and ARCA Truck Series. So don't miss your last chance to be a part of Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course's historic 50th season. Get your tickets today by calling 800-MID-OHIO or visit midohio.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, top-rated Behr Premium Plus interior paint starts at the new lower price of just $19.96 a gallon. It's the paint you trust, and now it's even more affordable. Which means this weekend you can take your living room from tired to inspired and your walls from white to bright. Then keep them that way for years to come. All thanks to Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now just $19.96. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The countdown to St. Paddy's Day has begun at P.J. McIntyre's in West Park. P.J.'s Halfway to St. Patrick's Day party starts at 6 this Friday, featuring music by Mary's Lane and a happy hour with $2 Guinness pints and other great specials. P.J.'s is also celebrating their fourth anniversary and wants to thank Cleveland for making them your favorite Irish pub. Catch all the Cleveland football action this fall at P.J. McIntyre's with 35-cent wings and $9 buckets of Bud or Bud Light. See you this fall at P.J. McIntyre's Irish Pub in West Park.
Now at the Home Depot, buy any bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fertilizer, and we'll throw in a gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max Insect Killer worth over $7 free. Your lawn will be protected all winter, and when spring arrives, a greener, healthier yard will too. A great lawn in the spring starts in the fall with Scott's Winter Guard Fertilizer and a free gallon of Ortho Home Defense Max. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Do you have a used musical instrument at home gathering dust? Guitar Center's experts are interested in buying it from you for cash this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You don't even need to be a musician. Look in attics and basements because we're buying qualified guitars, amps, pedals, keyboards, drums, and more. It's the Used Gear Expo at your local Guitar Center, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Looking to upgrade? We'll pay cash for qualified used gear and give you a 15% discount on new gear. You can even trade gear. Find details and your local store at guitarcenter.com.
Hey, as always, we appreciate that you're choosing to spend this portion of your day with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. That's right, for every window you buy, you get the second window for just $99. Plus, go along with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900 with Universal Windows Direct. You'll be saying, I love my windows. This segment is driven by Liberty Ford. Also want to remind you, a little later in the show, we're going to do our weekly historical perspective on the opponent segment. Steve King, our resident historian here with the Browns, is going to join us to break down the history between the Browns and the Colts. Right now, to break down some quarterbacks around the NFL, the one and only from ESPN Monday Night Football, Ron Jaworski. Ron, welcome to the show.
Vic, it's great to be with you, my friend. We go way, way back, and we don't want to say how way back, though.
I've told the stories where you and Liz taking pity on this young journalist in South Jersey who was covering your Eagle team when you were a quarterback with Dick Vermeil there, taking pity on me, inviting me to your house for dinner. I never forgot that, Ronnie.
You know, see how people are. They always think the players and journalists don't get along. You know, maybe there are a few along the way, but you and I hit it off great, man. I'm really happy for your success.
Well, same here, my friend. I love it. You are an analyzer of all things football, but nothing more than quarterbacks. Let's talk about some of the great quarterbacking stories that we saw in week one. And the guy, of course, who had a performance that we're all still talking about is young Cam Newton, 422 yards, two touchdown passes against the Cardinals. Ronnie, what do you see when you broke him down on film?
Well, it's funny. I've got him right in front of me as we speak, looking at Cam Newton in that game, his first NFL game against the Carolina Panthers. And you know, we got a chance to watch some on TV. You know, then you get the numbers after the game, and you say, "Wow, what a tremendous game for a rookie quarterback, 422 yards." And you know, you go, "Wow, that's pretty good." Well, I come into my office, I'm looking at the tape, and I am now going, "Wow, it was way beyond just the yards." I don't think the yards get your attention, but it's the way he did it. I mean, he is handling this offense like a wily old veteran, making the proper reads. He made a play on a long touchdown pass to Steve Smith where he redirected the protection. The Cardinals came with a corner cat, in other words, a corner blitz. He read it. He knew he had Steve Smith matched on a safety. He ran right by him, and they get an explosive play. And throughout this game, he has complete command of the Panther offense. It's a very impressive performance by Cam Newton, way above beyond the numbers.
Should we be surprised by that? I mean, I know there was a lot of talk that he had all this physical talent, but for a guy who really didn't get to play that long in college to show this kind of grasp this early, a little bit of surprising?
Vic, we should be very surprised. And, you know, it's hard enough for a rookie to come into this game when he gets his playbook the day of the draft and has all that time to study and OTAs and being coached up and learning the offense. You know, it's tough enough to do that. This guy did not have the playbook, you know. I mean, he did not have the advantage of the offseason. You know, he came to training camp and had to learn the offense. And you know, he struggled through the preseason. In fact, I thought he was going a little bit south, a little bit backwards. But you got to give Rob Chudzinski, the offensive coordinator, there a lot of credit. I mean, he got this guy ready to play week one, and he looks like a guy that's played for 4 years. So, you know, it is been kind of surprising to see these young quarterbacks be as effective they are with the less work that they've had.
Much of this offseason, preseason involved questions about who would play quarterback for the Washington Redskins and how it would all work out. Well, Rex Grossman gets the nod, and much to the chagrin of a lot of people who just thought they're going nowhere with this guy, yet lo and behold, he faces the Giants in week one, throws for 305 yards, two touchdown passes. What are you seeing from Rex, Ron?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because we had Rex Ryan, the Washington Redskins, week three on our ESPN Monday night preseason schedule, and it was very heated competition at that point between Rex Grossman and John Beck. And I think most people at that time were kind of leaning or at least thinking it would be John Beck. And Mike Shanahan surprised everyone when he chose Rex Grossman as a starting quarterback last week against the Giants. And I actually thought he made that decision because Rex Grossman played very well in the season ender against the Giants. And I thought, hey, you know, Shanahan had a guy that he was familiar with, that Giants defense, he would play well, and Rex Grossman did. But I also got to give some credit to Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator. He did a really good job with the play calling. Now, he stayed with the running game, although he netted 79 yards from Tim Hightower. They stayed with it. That kept things, you know, on schedule and allowed Grossman not to get in those known passing situations. And they did a real good job of attacking Aaron Ross, who's now, you know, filling in for Terrell Thomas, who's out for the season. And they got after really a backup corner who had to start. So I got to give Shanahan some credit. The game plan was well designed. And, of course, Grossman executed it very well.
And, Ron, when you listen to him speak. I mean, when he talks about the situation where there were a lot of doubters, a lot of haters about him, he didn't seem to be bothered by that. He seemed pretty unflappable. I would imagine that's a big part of what this guy has to deal with and overcome if he's going to be successful.
Well, you have to love the journey. You know, he was successful with the Bears. You know, took a Chicago Bear team to the Super Bowl. You know, never got the true respect, you know, that he felt he deserved. And probably he has a right to have a chip on his shoulder. Was kind of discarded. You know, spent some time down in Houston, you know, sitting behind Matt Schaub, learning that offense. And then, you know, got an opportunity last year to play a little bit and took advantage of it and showed people that he could still play. Now, Rex is never going to be the kind of guy that's going to wow you with these, you know, shotguns coming out of the backfield with his arm. Right. You know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to wow you with his escapability and mobility, but he's a guy that knows the game and understands the game, and you see very few bad plays being run by the Redskins. So if he can avoid being bad Rex, which he admitted to us a few weeks ago, he has a tendency to do, I think his Redskins offense will be in good hands.
Another offense that appears to be in really good hands to start this season is the Buffalo Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick has a strong game, throws for 208 yards, four touchdowns against the Kansas City Chiefs. Ron, is this just the right marriage between a quarterback who's kind of was on that journeyman's path to now being in Buffalo and working with Chan Gailey?
Well, I think Chan Gailey deserves a lot of credit. You know, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, not a kind of guy that when you look at it and go, oh, you know, he's got the looks and the stature of Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or, you know, some of these great quarterbacks that stand big and tall in the pocket. He's got a little quirky motion. You know, he doesn't impress you, you know, with all the things that you look for in these great quarterbacks. But what he does, he's got a lot of grit, a lot of moxie. You know, he's a guy that'll fight you tooth and nail. And he now understands this Chan Gailey offense. And I think system familiarity is so important in the NFL. If you've been in the same system for a year, 2 years, 3 years, you understand all the nuances. So I think at this point, Fitzpatrick now feels very comfortable in orchestrating the Bills' offense. He knows where the ball should be going on every snap. And it's not like that around the NFL with every quarterback and every team.
And he's got some good receivers to work with, of course, with Stevie Johnson, and looks like they even might have found a tight end to catch the football. That's been a long-standing problem for the Buffalo Bills.
No question about it. I mean, and I like the way Chan Gailey and the Bills front office is building his football team. You know, I think the first thing we all thought of, Vic, was, you know, during the draft, they had to go out and, you know, get the number one quarterback. But I like what they did. They're building their offensive line. They're building the defensive line. You're finding the tight end. You're finding the guys that are the integral part of a team beside the quarterback. Eventually, if it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick or somebody else, I think the components in place in Buffalo will help the quarterback play a lot better. And Fitzpatrick played great, obviously, against Kansas City.
Ron Jaworski from ESPN's Monday Night Football joining us. He will be on the call with John Gruden and Mike Tirico when the Rams face the Giants on Monday night. You just called the game last Monday night in Miami between the Patriots and Dolphins. Chad Henne, he has big numbers, 416 yards passing, two touchdowns, because it was that kind of a shootout game against the Patriots. But Tom Brady, of course, was Tom Brady. But in terms of Henne and his development, Ron, where do you think he is and where do you think it's going for him in Miami?
Well, I'll start off by saying I was very impressed with Chad Henne on Monday night. We all spoke about Tom Brady in glowing terms, and he deserved all the bouquets that he received. But I thought Chad Henne played very well, threw for over 400 yards, and handled his new offense very well. With Brian Daboll down there, who people in Cleveland know, you know, coordinated that offense in the past, they've gone to what they call in Miami now the left lane offense. It's going to be a passing offense. It's going to be very aggressive. And Daboll is basically given the keys to the offense to Chad Henne. When you get to the line of scrimmage, you see a one-on-one matchup, you see something we could take advantage of, go ahead and audible at the line of scrimmage. I thought Henne was the first time in his career, got to the line of scrimmage, had the authority to get out of a bad play into a good play, and for the most part, he was very sharp all night at the line of scrimmage. Not quite as sharp as Tom Brady, who now that Peyton Manning is out for a while, Brady's probably the best at the line of scrimmage with Drew Brees second.
Sure. Ron, the Browns got off to a rough start, of course, losing their home opener against Cincinnati. It's a team that you know is young, but in terms of the position that is going to be the defining, I think, area where this team goes is quarterback. And right off the bat, Colt McCoy, very solid in leading this team on a 17-0 run that allowed them to get the lead in the game. But in a larger scale, a performance that didn't close the sale. Let's put it that way. How do you view Colt McCoy as a quarterback?
Well, I've been very impressed with Colt McCoy, and one of the concerns that I had when Colt was coming out of Texas was the arm strength. When I studied the quarterbacks for the NFL draft, I always check to see if are they making NFL-type throws. You know, the deep sideline from the far hash, those skinny posts where you plant on the back foot and you have to drive the ball 30 yards downfield. You know, throwing between a safety and a corner on a seam post. You know, those throws that separate the college players from the pro players. And quite honestly, I did not see a lot of those throws out of Colt McCoy at Texas. So I was a little bit concerned that he actually had that kind of arm strength because I didn't see him on tape. But I think last year he proved that he can make all the throws at the NFL level. Now it's only a matter of time of surrounding Colt with the proper weapons. Yeah, you're certainly going to have a Peyton Hillis. You can run the football. It's an offensive line that continues to get better. I personally would like to see one of those wide receivers that could blow the top off the defense. You know, someone that could take it, you know, and open up those voids. I don't see that receiver on the Browns right now, but I think clearly at the quarterback position, you know, Colt McCoy is going to be there for a long time.
Ron, great stuff as always. We truly appreciate it. We want to remind people, of course, Monday Night Football coming up this week. Rams at Giants. You will be on the call with John Gruden and Mike Tirico. Truly appreciate the time, buddy.
Thank you, Vic.
Ron Jaworski. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Stick around on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your best wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the Lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your Lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Lifted and lowered, Wranglers and Wheelers. See your favorite trucks and more at Summit Racing Equipment's annual Truck Fest sale and cruising this Saturday and Sunday. Cruise in Saturday from 9 to 5. In-store only sale prices good all weekend. Truck Fest at Summit Racing, I-76, exit 29 in Talmadge.
Woo! Northeast Ohio. Mike, Gobstopper to Bottle here from Nissan and North Thompson. And last night, I had the strangest dream. When I went to Nissan and North Thompson, it was overrun by little people, 3 feet tall, with overalls, orange faces, big thick eyebrows, and Fu Manchus. I found myself in the land of Chupa Loompas.
Chupa Loompa, Loompa-dee-doo. We've got a brand new Nissan for you. Chupa Loompa, Loompa-dee-day. You'll save a lot of money today. Up to $10,000 off on your new Nissan car. Or low interest rates down to 0 APR. Chupa Loompa Loompa-dee-day. Your best car deal is not far away. With Larry Chupa, the Chupa Loompa. See Chupa today.
Woo, are you kidding me? Man, I have got to stop eating chocolates before bedtime. Nissan of North Olmsted, 855-55-NISSAN. Or
Nissan.com. You could save hundreds on car insurance by switching to Geico. Likewise, you could probably find a few extra bucks digging around in your couch cushions. But if you ask me, it's much more lucrative to call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit Geico.com.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Mike Holmgren. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850, WKNR.
And as the president just said, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Cleveland Browns single game tickets are going fast, so purchase your tickets before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns-Titans matchup on Sunday, October 2nd, sorry, at 1 p.m. For more information, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. We welcome back Steve King to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, for our weekly historical look at the Browns' upcoming opponent. Of course, it's the Browns and Colts this Sunday in Indianapolis. So, Steve, as we look at these two teams that are not in the same division, there's still some history between them.
Oh, absolutely. You go back, the last championship the Browns won in 1964, and anyone who's a little bit of gray hair and remembers black and white TV and the hula hoop will remember that game and can tell you every moment of where they were that day in 1964. The Browns won 27-0, and really it was probably, if you talk to the people on that team, the Jim Houstons and the Jim Browns and the Frank Ryans, they'll tell you that was the greatest team victory that they ever had, and it may be the best team victory that this organization has ever had, whereas everybody doing exactly what they were asked to do, you know, putting their ego at the door and doing it exactly as they were asked to do it.
Was there ever a sense of the kindred spirit between these teams to the extent that, and it's for different reasons, but you have the Browns, of course, sadly making their move to Baltimore, and then the Colts in Indianapolis being the team that moved from Baltimore. Anything along those lines through
there? I think there probably is, because you have to remember there are still a lot of people in Baltimore that consider themselves Colts fans, and while they're happy that the city has football with the Ravens, they haven't really embraced the Ravens because that, you know, they look at that as being the old Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. And they're still, you know, sad that the Colts have left, and they're kind of nomads wandering around the NFL landscape looking for somebody to root for. And but I think there is probably some kindred spirits, and I think there's a little bit of looking upon, hey, you know, this we left Baltimore, this is a new team in Cleveland, we mm-hmm. kind of have similar experiences. And you know, Vic, it's interesting you say that, because in 1964 and in 1968, when they played again for the NFL championship, who would have ever fathomed that Baltimore Colts would ever leave Baltimore, and that the Cleveland Browns would ever leave Cleveland? You could have bet your house and everything in it and walked away and thinking that you were safe forever, that would never happen. And, you know, never say never.
Such deep-rooted tradition and history. And as we look at these two clubs, of course, the Browns have not had anything approaching the success that this Indianapolis Colts team has enjoyed through the years. But when you look at it, even though the Colts have been this perennial contender and the Browns haven't, they've played each other pretty tough, Browns and Colts.
Every game that the Browns have played against the Colts since they've been back has been tight. They've given Peyton Manning fits. They've, that Colts offense that had for so many years during this Browns expansion era has been a juggernaut, going up and down the field on everybody else. For whatever reason, the Browns have been able to slow that down. And what's interesting too, Vic, is, you know, they haven't been high scoring games. When I say tight, it hasn't been 45-43. It's been, 13-6 or 13-10, 9-6. Those type of tight defensive games. And who would ever think you would have a tight defensive games with the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning? You just wouldn't fathom that, but that's how it's played out.
Steve King, our resident historian, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, talking about the history between the Browns and the Colts. And going back to the cardiac kids days, Brian Sipe, quarterback, November 19th, 1978, a big day for Brian Sipe against the then Baltimore Colts.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have to remember, you know, Sipe came to the team in 1972 as a 13th round draft choice and stayed on the taxi squad, which is kind of the forerunner of today's practice squad, for 2 years, and came to the regular roster in 1974. And he had some high moments and he had some low moments, but he was up and down. Sam Bertigliano came in as coach in 1978, was duly impressed with him and handed him the job. And he had some good games and he had some bad games. And he had not a very good game the week before against Denver. They had lost at home 19-7 and basically done nothing on offense.
Mm.
So this was, and Sam really has alluded to this in the past, but he's kind of stayed clear from it here recently. Had basically, this was do or die for Brian Sipe. And I really believe that if Sipe had not performed well in that game and had another clunker, that they might have made a change of quarterback, maybe gone to Mark Miller, the kid from Canton South High School.
Wow.
But as it turned out, Sipe gets 300 yards. And from that point on, he was a different quarterback, and that Browns offense was a different group.
And, you know, this is so interesting to me when we go back to that 1958 NFL championship game between the Giants and then again Baltimore Colts, what was called or remembered the greatest game ever played. How close the Cleveland Browns really could have been in terms of being part of that game, whether or not it would have been remembered as such, who knows? But the fact that the Browns had a chance by facing the Giants in the Eastern Conference playoff game in 58.
Well, they actually had two chances. If they played their final regular season game at New York, and they were ahead by a game. If they won, they clinch it. They go on to play the Colts. Well, they lost the game 13-10. You know, Pat Summerall, he of the TV history, was a kicker for the Colts or for the Giants.
Yeah.
Came over from the Chicago Cardinals, kicked a 50-yard field goal into a blizzard, beat the Browns. The Browns had to come back to New York the following week, and they bottled up Jim Brown and beat the Browns 10-0. And so it's the Giants and not the Browns going to the NFL championship game to play the Baltimore Colts. And, you know, like you said, how close it was that, Jim Brown, Milt Plum, and, Bob Gain and all those guys would have been playing against the Baltimore Colts against the Giants. And, you know, who knows how that game may have turned out.
Now, we fast forward to that 1964 NFL championship game. And really, when we think about the rich history of Browns football, 27-0 win over that Baltimore team then really stands as something that stays on the mantelpiece forever, huh?
Yeah, and you know, this is a team, remember, Vic, that of the 15 Hall of Fame players, 13 of them are on offense. But as much as the offense and Gary Collins catching three touchdown passes from Frank Ryan, as much as the offense played a role in that game, it was really the defense, because you're shutting down what I consider to be, and I think most people would consider to be, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and one of the greatest offenses, the Baltimore Colts. Led the league in offense, led the league in defense, and you score 27 on them, don't give them anything. Johnny Unitas gets 95 yards. Galen Fiss makes a touchdown-saving tackle on Lenny Moore on a screen pass. He might still be running if Galen Fiss hadn't tackled him. Mm-hmm. And yet, that turns the game. That's in the second quarter. That turns the game around. And they just put 17 on him in the third quarter out of a scoreless tie coming out of halftime, and they win the game. And I mean, really, the Colts were probably the perfect team. But on that day, the Browns were better. And it really, when you talk to old-time Browns fans, again, they will go back to that game and they almost get misty-eyed when they talk about it. And yeah. The great story out of that is Danny Coughlin, whom working for the Cleveland Plain Dealer at the time, talking in the locker room afterwards with Don Shula. Don Shula's sitting on a trunk in a locker room, and there's two or three reporters around him, and that's the post-game press conference for the losing coach in the NFL championship game.
Wow.
No, you know, large room, no, yeah. you know,
yeah.
500
no podium,
people,
yeah.
no podium, no, you know, advertisement banner behind him, just sitting there on a trunk. He's the great Don Shula, and I'll never forget him telling me that story.
He is Steve King. You can read his work on ClevelandBrowns.com, all his historical pieces on the Browns. You can see him on our television platform. And, of course, make sure you get out to Cleveland Browns Stadium for a stadium tour. Steve will conduct that tour for you, and he does such a tremendous job filling you in on the history of the team. If you want to know more about the tours, you can call 440-824-3361 or email tours@clevelandbrowns.com. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Vic. Always a pleasure.
All right. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on ESPN 850. WKNR. Hi, this is Vic Carucci talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. I'm driving a 2012 Ford Explorer Limited. It's roomy, and it has voice-activated sync, navigation, the works. I love the Liberty Ford experience. Their guaranteed financing and award-winning service department and body shop just add to it. Go to any one of their five locations to check out their huge selection of new and used inventory, or make it easy on yourself and go to LibertyFord.com.
Way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll up our sleeves, working together to achieve your future goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hey Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
Back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Time to deliver our poll question results brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. The question was, how confident are you in the Browns' ability to rebound this week and why? The categories vary somewhat, not at all. We had a lot of votes on this one. 52% of you said very confident. Paul, good comment from Paul. That not at all people should find another team. It takes more heart than that to be a Browns fan. Questions from you that delivered through our Facebook, official Facebook page. We've got one here from, let me see, who was the great question? I saw it. Oh, come on. I want this good question here. Here it is. Which player or position from the Colts do you think, this is from Dave, the Browns will give the Browns biggest problem on Sunday? I'm going to say it's two guys. I'm most worried about Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. Those two pass rushers are trouble. And especially, we saw those issues with the right tackle position for the Browns. That's got to be resolved in this game. Going to have to give some help over to that side as well and move the pocket a little bit to deal with that. Fast-flowing Colts defense, too. Take advantage of that. Some thank yous to Rich Gannon, to Ron Jaworski, to Steve King, to Kristen Ribelli, to Jameer Howerton, to Dave DiNatale, and Will Burge. Enjoyed it so much, we'll do it again tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.